Welcome, everyone, to a very special, custom-tailored edition of our deep dive.
Glad to be here for this one.
I have to admit, when I first saw your source submission for today's session...
Oh, I know.
I actually laughed out loud. I mean, if you're joining us today, you're probably expecting our usual format.
Right? Usually we're dealing with, you know, a massive stack of sources.
Exactly. Dense research papers, extensive articles, these intricately detailed notes. And our job is to extract the absolute most important nuggets of knowledge.
We act as your filter for information overload. That's the usual mission.
Right. But the source material you provided this time, it just completely flips that script.
It really does.
You handed us a single web address, and frankly, I'm just fascinated by it.
It's a brilliant submission, honestly.
Because it forces us to look at the very nature of searching for information in a digital age.
Yeah, and what happens when that search hits a brick wall? It's a completely different kind of challenge today.
It really is.
Like I said, usually we are swimming in a sea of data, trying to figure out what to cut and what to keep.
Right, synthesizing it all.
But the source material we're working with right now is the exact opposite of information overload.
It's an absolute vacuum.
Exactly, an absolute vacuum.
So let's get right into the mission for today.
Let's do it.
Our goal, as always, is to extract the core insights from the submitted source material. But the big reveal here is that the source you gave us is extraordinarily brief.
Unbelievably brief.
You provided a specific URL. It was angelsense.com/blog/things-autism-mom.
A URL that sets a very clear, very heavy expectation.
Yeah, it really does.
It promises a highly specific guide to navigating a complex interpersonal dynamic.
But the only text contained in the excerpt you provided.
The only thing.
The only actual content that this source yielded when you went looking for that highly specific guide is a standard error message.
Just an error message.
The entire text of our source material today is just two sentences. 404, not found. We cannot find the page you are looking for.
That is the entirety of it.
A digital dead end.
Right, right where a wealth of interpersonal advice was supposed to be.
And I want to assure you right now, as you listen to this, that despite this source being a literal missing page, we are not skipping it.
No, absolutely not. There's so much to dig into here.
We are going to break down the stark contrast between the intended topic that the URL promised and the abrupt text that was actually provided.
It's a fascinating contrast.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start by looking at the literal text of that web address.
Because even though the page itself is gone,
the URL string remains.
Exactly. It remains as a ghost of the content.
It tells a story before we even hit the error. You brought this source with the clear intent of learning about a sensitive topic based solely on that title.
Things not to say to autism, Mom.
Right. What's fascinating here is the sheer sociological weight of the expectation set by that URL.
Well, what's fascinating here is how you have the phrase, things not to say, which is a classic, almost foundational framework for internet advice.
It really is the standard listicle format.
We live in an era where we rely on digital listicles to navigate human empathy.
We do. We want it packaged up for us.
It promises an easy-to-digest format for something that actually requires deep emotional intelligence.
And then it targets a very specific demographic.
The autism mom.
Let's spend some time on that specific modifier. Why the need for a listicle specifically for an autism mom?
Because you were clearly looking for guardrails.
Yeah, the phrase implies that there are common conversational landmines.
And you were actively trying to educate yourself to avoid causing harm or frustration.
Because the term autism mom carries a very distinct cultural and personal identity.
It really does. It represents a caregiver who is constantly navigating complex medical and educational systems.
And social systems, too, on behalf of their child.
Because of that intense public-facing advocacy, they are frequently on the receiving end of a barrage of comments.
Usually from well-meaning but completely uninformed people.
Exactly. Unsolicited medical advice. Toxic positivity.
Minimizing the child's diagnosis.
All of it. These are daily occurrences.
So when you, the searcher, type that into your browser or click that link, you are preparing yourself to receive a very specific kind of instruction.
You're seeking out a digital boundary map.
You are expecting to read a blog post written by someone with lived experience.
Someone directly telling you what phrases to avoid.
You went to this source to be a better, more considerate communicator.
And that reveals a lot about how we handle social anxiety today.
It really does. We want a cheat sheet.
We want to pre-Google our conversations so we don't mess up.
We're terrified of saying the wrong thing.
And the intent behind the search is incredibly noble. It is rooted in a desire to be empathetic.
Absolutely. The URL promises a transfer of lived experience from the writer to you, the reader.
It's a digital bridge being built over a sensitive emotional gap.
But the expectation set by that URL is exactly why the actual content of the page is so jarring.
It's a shock to the system.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The source strips all that promised humanity away.
And leaves us with just three words in its first sentence.
404, not found.
It is the ultimate bait and switch.
It really is. The URL sets this highly emotional stage.
And the text that follows immediately collapses that stage into the clinical language of internet protocol.
It's so blunt.
We are so accustomed to the internet acting as an infinite permanent library.
But this specific error exposes the illusion of that permanence.
Completely.
But is it really a tragedy of the digital archive, or is it just the natural life cycle of the internet?
Websites get updated, blogs get migrated.
Outdated posts get scrubbed. I mean, does encountering a standard 404 error actually mean anything deeper than bad site maintenance on the part of the domain owner?
On a technical level, sure, it's just a broken link. But contextually, it matters deeply because of what is lost.
Because of the subject matter.
Exactly. We aren't talking about a missing recipe or a broken image on a corporate landing page.
We are talking about the loss of niche community support.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it highlights a concept we can call the digital ephemeral.
The digital ephemeral. I like that.
We outsource our empathy and our social preparation to these servers.
We assume the advice will always be there when we need it.
And when it suddenly isn't, especially for marginalized voices or highly specific caregiving communities,
Communities that often lack robust, long-term archival resources.
right, it leaves the searcher incredibly vulnerable.
That makes a lot of sense. You show up at the door ready to learn how to be supportive.
And instead of a welcoming blog post, you just hit a wall.
You asked for advice on human empathy, and the source responds with a three-digit status code.
A literal numerical rejection.
As a searcher, you all know what a 404 means. You don't need us to explain the mechanics of a dead web page.
No, the mechanics are basic.
But the bluntness of the phrase not found in response to an emotional query is striking.
It is. It creates a strange kind of negative space.
The exact phrases you were supposed to avoid are hidden.
Leaving you without the specific conversational shield you were trying to acquire.
The source explicitly confirms that the specific advice you were trying to uncover simply does not exist within its parameters anymore.
It's gone.
It's a sudden realization that the internet cannot always act as a buffer between you and another human being.
You wanted the list so you wouldn't say the wrong thing.
And the source essentially says, "Sorry, you were going to have to figure this out without our cheat sheet."
Which forces a very uncomfortable transition for the searcher.
You are thrust back into the messy reality of unscripted human interaction.
You're flying blind again.
Let's shift our focus to the second sentence of the source material.
Because this is where the tone of the text changes entirely.
We have the clinical 404 not found.
But then the text softens into a complete grammatical sentence.
We cannot find the page you are looking for.
That sentence completely alters the dynamic of the source.
So what does this all mean? Let's focus heavily on the text's use of the pronouns we and you.
Because suddenly, this isn't just a machine throwing a numerical error code.
There is a simulated relationship being established.
Yes, we cannot find the page you are looking for.
This raises an important question, doesn't it?
This raises an important question regarding the relationship between the architecture of the internet and the user.
Who exactly is the we in this scenario?
It represents an unseen digital collective.
The server, the underlying architecture of Angelsense.com.
The invisible hands that maintain the site.
And they are directly addressing you, acknowledging your agency as a searcher.
It is surprisingly personal for an automated message.
It explicitly says the page you were looking for.
The source is witnessing your effort.
It acknowledges that you are not just randomly clicking around.
You have intent.
You are on an active quest for knowledge regarding communication boundaries.
And the system recognizes that quest. It is a fascinating paradox.
It really is.
The source validates your curiosity while simultaneously admitting total defeat in providing the answers.
We cannot find.
It is a simulated apology for an absence.
Notice the phrasing there, too. We cannot find. It doesn't definitively say the page does not
It
exist.
says we cannot find it.
It almost implies that the knowledge might be out there somewhere in the ether.
But this specific collective entity is incapable of retrieving it for you at this exact moment.
And I want to point out the spelling here too. Cannot, as two distinct words, instead of the compound cannot.
The separation of those two words adds a certain semantic weight to the failure.
It slows it down.
Exactly. Cannot feels like a standard definitive statement of impossibility.
But cannot reads as a deliberate admission of a limitation.
It stretches the failure out just a fraction of a second longer.
It's a source that essentially says, your desire to learn what not to say to an autism mom is valid, but our capacity to fulfill that desire at this specific URL has failed.
But does that simulated empathy actually offer any comfort to the searcher?
Or does it just make the dead end feel more alienating?
It's almost like the source is commiserating with you.
Hey, we see you looking for this important information. We wish we could give it to you.
We looked. We cannot find it.
It turns a cold, dead link into a tiny moment of shared digital disappointment.
I think it depends on the user, but ultimately, it leaves the searcher in a very unique position.
You are validated in your search.
The system acknowledges you were looking for something specific and real.
But you are still empty-handed regarding the actual subject matter.
You still don't know the things not to say.
You still have to go out into the physical world and interact with people.
And you don't have the list.
You just have the knowledge that the server is very sorry. It couldn't help you prepare.
Which brings us back to the psychology of the original search.
The user wanted a definitive list of boundaries.
By not providing that list? By offering only an acknowledgement of the search and a confirmation of absence.
The source inadvertently forces the searcher to find those boundaries through entirely different means.
It's a forced pivot.
Let's briefly recap the concise yet surprisingly complex journey of this deep dive.
It's been quite the ride for a two-sentence source.
You brought us a highly specific digital address, expecting a comprehensive guide on how to navigate complex, sensitive, interpersonal dynamics.
You were looking for lived experience and clear behavioral guardrails.
Regarding what not to say to an autism mom.
But the reality of the source was an exploration of an informational void.
It provided a stark numerical rejection of the query.
Followed by a strangely polite, almost empathetic admission of failure from the digital collective.
It highlighted the fragile nature of our digital archives.
And our modern reliance on internet listicles for emotional preparation.
And before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thing to mull over on your own.
A thought that builds directly on this digital dead end.
We've talked extensively about the expectation of the list and the sociology of the error message.
But think about this.
If the exact page detailing the precise things not to say literally cannot be found,
perhaps this absence forces a deeper reliance on our own innate intuition.
It completely reframes the experience of the missing page.
It really does.
When a source outright fails to give you the exact script of what not to say, does that 404 not found actually challenge you to navigate those sensitive conversations through real-time empathy?
Does the lack of a bulleted list force you to engage in active listening?
To read the room.
To treat the person standing in front of you as a complex individual rather than relying on the missing parameters of a deleted blog post.
Maybe the ultimate lesson of the digital void is that the best communication guide isn't a pre-read script at all.
But your own present, undivided, empathetic attention.
Thank you so much for joining us on this incredibly unique deep dive today.
It's been a fascinating one.
Keep searching for those answers. Keep bringing us your fascinating sources.
And keep exploring your curiosity.
Even when the links come up completely empty.